place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not the way, whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, let me read that out of the Amplified. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me also. Hallelujah. He said, just keep believing in me. He said, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't let it be troubled. That's something you got to do. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to walk around with a troubled heart. I'm not going to have a troubled heart. I've got challenges in my life, but one thing, I've made a decision. I'm not going to have a troubled heart, because Jesus told me not to. Right? He told me to trust in him, rely on him, depend on him. That means that I can have confidence to know that he's going to take care of me. Amen? Whatever your problem is today, I'm going to tell you the Lord can handle. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you right now. I'm going to tell you, cast your cares on him right now. Whatever concerns you, whatever's got you weighted down, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means if you got a heavy load on you, get out from under that load. That's not the will of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, he said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, your mind, you just be agitated and frustrated. Oh, that's not the will of God. We resist the devil. We cast those cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out. That you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen? You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Don't y'all let Brother Curtis get y'all in trouble now. How about you ain't got to buy the children nothing, mom and dad? You notice he ain't say you ain't got to buy the husband or wife nothing now. Don't let him get y'all in trouble today. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord.
Yes, indeed.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity now to study your word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost who is able to take the text and unfold it, disclose it, reveal it unto us so that we might understand it and then practice it in receiving the profit and giving you the praise. And we thank you in advance for what you shall say to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. I want to call your attention, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's a short word today. I won't be long. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, it's time to take a stand.
All right.
It's time to take a stand. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. There are four exhortations that Paul uses to speak to the church at Corinth, four commands, if you will, that is helpful for the believer to understand and to practice, because this word has to do with standing fast in the faith. And when it talks about standing fast in the faith, you will discover that it is holding true to the principles of God, the practices of God, so that you might profit from these things. God wants us to know the word so that we can heed, obey the word, and thus profit from the word. As he gives these four short exhortations or commands, I want us to look at them, because he's dealing with four areas. If you're writing this down, I'll just jot them down or speak and you jot them down and I'll go back and break them down for you. First, he's commanding them to be, one, watchful. In this verse, he's also telling them, two, to be faithful. Three, he's telling them in this verse to be manful. And then fourthly, he's telling them to be powerful. Now let's go back to watchful. When he says watch, he literally means to be continually on your guard. To be continually. Christians must be alert, careful, and cautious regarding life and have a watchful eye. The devil, Satan, is always seeking, always around, always looking to do a believer in. You've got to be careful that you don't fall into plots, plans, and pits that the enemy has set up for you because you were not paying attention. When the word says watch ye, it means you watch. Too many of us are always expecting someone else to tell us watch out. But if we watch for, we wouldn't have to worry about people telling us to watch out for stuff. If we are on God, if we are looking, if we are focused on the things and our surroundings around us, we'd be more careful to be, to do, and to exist in a way that God wants us, that will give us the advantage over the enemy, because most of us are done harm and damage by a sneak attack of the enemy.
All right.
See, one of the things that many of us don't realize is how the devil attacks us. Can I tell you, he doesn't always do it by the haters?
All right.
He doesn't always do it by the people that we expect to do us wrong. Sometimes he gets within the camp. Sometimes he gets within the family. Sometimes he gets within the friendship circle. Sometimes he gets within the church circle. And you've got to be mindful, watchful. That's one of the reasons why when Jesus was bringing Peter, James, and John further into the Garden of Gethsemane with him and left the others outside, he told them, watch. Watch with me. Now, what he wanted them to watch and pray, but to watch so that they would not enter into temptation. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you don't recognize is if you're not on guard and you allow your mind to just free flow, the enemy can guide it in the direction that he wants, fills it with the poison that will then infiltrate your system, and you will be defeated from the inside out, and all the enemy has to do is just show up to take you out.
All right.
Because you've already done it to yourself. And so he says, watch so that you are on guard diligently, so that the enemy, because when the enemy eases those things in that are not like God's word, that don't line up with God's word, if we're not watchful, he cloaks them, clothes them in things that we're not, that are non-threatening to us. In other words, when the enemy gets close to us, he has not come in a threatening manner. He has eased up to us under the cloak, under the clothing of those things that do not present a threat to us. And so when he does, do you know backstabbers stab you in the back because you've allowed them to get close and you never saw it coming?
All right.
There are people that you trust, people that you associate, people that you affiliate with. And so you don't suspect them to do. You look for the person that looks suspicious to do that to you. But the person that cloaks themselves in acquaintances and friendships are usually the ones who do that to you. And so he says, be watchful. When Jesus saw Judas coming, he said, friend.
All right.
It wasn't because he thought Judas was a friend to him, but he was ensuring Judas that I know what you're coming to do, and in spite of what I know you're coming to do, I'm still your friend.
All right.
And so he says, watch. Matthew 24 and 42, jot that down, says, watch for Christ's coming. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch that you enter not into temptation. Luke 21, 36 says, watch that you may be worthy to escape all these tribulations. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, watch in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 says, watch in soberness. 2 Timothy 4 and 5 says, watch in all things. The word is constantly warning us to watch.
All right.
Watch. But then it moves on from watching, to faithful. Now, what does it mean when it say stand fast in the faith? This exhortation simply means that Christians ought to be faithful. Faithful. Stand fast in the faith means keep rank, do not be disorderly or retreat, keep unity, let nothing divide you so that Satan can defeat you. Keep faith, stand fast in the faith, keep rank. Know who you are, know whose you are, and operate in a stand strong in the faith kind of mentality. Here's what you need to know. You are where you are by the grace of God.
All right.
It may not be necessarily where you want to be. It may not be a place you picked to be, but God put you there. And if he allowed you to be there, know that he has the power to keep you there until it's time to promote you from there.
Yes.
If God has placed you in a position, in a place, in a situation, in a circumstance, and you're wondering, Lord, how did I get here? And you know God has ordered your steps,
that God has directed your direction, that God is in control of your destiny. May I tell you, many times when he shows you the end, and at the beginning, he doesn't give you all of the descriptive details, it's because he wants you to trust him to walk in this faith and to be guided by him on a daily basis. So sometimes when it doesn't seem like it's on the course that you think it ought to be, what you've got to know is God is in control of this situation. God knows alternate routes that will take you and get you to the place where he wants you to be in a much quicker manner than what you would go if you went on what you thought was the best track. And so sometimes God uses certain diversions. God uses certain detours. But when you recognize that he's in control and you trust him to keep the faith in him, you say, God, you're in control. You're doing the driving. I'm the passenger. Ride on, conquering king. And you know that when it all ends up, you'll be right at the place where God wants you to be if you keep fast in the faith. Stand fast, meaning don't vacillate, don't turn here and there. Hold on to what God says. Be in that place and hold that position till the Lord makes a change. Listen to this. I want you to see something else, because he moves next to this part that says, literally, to quit you like men, which means to behave like men. Quit you like men is a phrase that was used to say, stop acting childish. It was a phrase that says, stop acting like men and be men. You see, there are a whole lot of folk that may be the age of a man, but not necessarily the maturity of a man. And so he's literally calling this phrase, literally comes from a Greek word that literally means to be mature and manly. And so it is important to recognize, because when you look at this and understand, it means do not flinch in the fight. It literally means maintain your ground at all costs. It means resist, press forward, and here's the end result: strike deadly blows. See, when a man knows that he's in a situation, especially in warfare, he don't play with the enemy. He's there to take care of the business of God, and he's not vacillating with him, playing with him. He's here to take the enemy out, because this is what he knows, that the enemy is here to take him out. And see, you've got to go to the contest with one thing in mind: ending this battle with you being the victor. And you don't go in the battle playing like children. You go in the battle armed and ready and dangerous, so that the enemy knows in the end you're coming out this thing on top. When young David went in up against Goliath, and all of the strong men of Israel stayed on the other side as Goliath shouted out his tauntings against the strongest men of Israel, and David came with a picnic basket to bring food for his brothers, and he happened to see big old Goliath down in the valley shouting out, give me a man that will fight with me. And in essence, when he got through saying, if they beat me, then all of the men of Israel don't need to die in vain. If I beat them, the men of his people would not have to die in vain. And so when he realized that he was representing the Philistines and David came out against him, he was taken aback that a boy would come out against a seasoned giant. He was proposed to be somewhere between 8 and 9 feet tall, and he was an experienced man from his youth as a warrior. And here was David, who was only a shepherd boy, who was pulled out of his duty of being a shepherd. But David came up there and they wanted to suit him down with battle clothes. But I got news for you. David knew what worked for him. And I got to tell you, if you're going to go into battle, you ought to go with what works for you. They tried to put on army regalia on him. They tried to fit him up and suit him down. And he looked at this stuff. He said, man, I don't need this stuff. I ain't never used none of this before. He took all this stuff off. Then he said, let me tell you something. I'm going in the name of the Lord. He said, I was watching my father's sheep one day, and a bear came. take one of the sheep, he said, and I got that bear, tow him up, and saved the sheep. One other day, a lion came. By the power of God, anointed him, he destroyed the lion. He says, listen, I'm not afraid of that giant. I'm going out in the name of the Lord. He went there and stood there while Goliath looked at him, made fun of him, told him he would feed his hide to the birds. The man of God, young, and what they call fair, stood in the anointing of God and let him know that by the power of his God, he would defeat him that day. Went down by the brook, got five smooth rocks, didn't need but one. And in that one, he rolled in the air in that slingshot, that rock, in the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and released it. And the rock hit Goliath in the head, knocked him down. He didn't have a sword. So he climbed up on him with Goliath's sword and cut his head off with his own sword. And I just want to tell those who talk all that smack, be careful.
All right.
When you're dealing with a child of God, don't let the looks fool you. Big things come in some small packages. And he was in the anointing of God's authority and destroyed his enemy with the power of God. That's how you destroy your enemy. Stand in the faith and be sure that God's got this thing fixed. Some of you are up against some things, man, and it's the devil is doing everything he can to beat you down. And it looks bigger than you. It seems stronger than you. But you've got God on your side. And with God on your side, God and you are the majority. I don't care how many numbers they come against you. I don't care how big the situation looks against you. If God is on your side, do you know you got more working with you than with them? The prophet one morning, his servant had gone out and he saw that the town had been surrounded by the enemy. Ran back in the house and told him. And he came out with the servant. When he looked around and he saw he was surrounded by the enemy, he simply prayed a prayer. Lord, I want you to open up my servant's eye and let him see that those who be with us are more than those that be with them. In other words, let him see that those who surround us are surrounded by those who support us. In other words, they don't understand God has got this thing fixed. And the next time you see a situation where it appears that your enemy is surrounding you, maybe you need to say, God, let me look with my spiritual eyes and not just my natural eyes to see that you have got my enemy surrounded and that I'm going to come out of this thing victoriously. And when you stand in that kind of faith, God cannot help but show up and show out in your situation. And so my brothers and sisters, when we look at this and go into that kind of faith, believing God, trusting God, understanding that, we will stop acting like children and being childish in our faith, vacillating because we can't have our way this one moment. Don't recognize that God has allowed this thing to build us up, to better us. Sometime we have to temporarily go down so God can reposition us to bring us up in a better position than we ever were in our lives. Sometimes when God brings us down so low, we don't understand that it is because in the repositioning of us, he removes us from the sight, the targets of our enemies. And the next time he pulls us into sight, we will be up on a rock higher than our enemies. And the enemy will know that a power greater than us has provided this protection, this provision, and this peace. And listen, the last thing he says, be strong. Be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. One of the things that I love about this is that this be strong is not in a physical context. It is a spiritual context. The world puts their emphasis on physical fitness, and that's wonderful because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost and we ought to keep our physical bodies fit. But I got news for you. This word be strong ain't got nothing to do with muscles. This has to do with spiritual strength, your spirit man being fit, being strong in God, understanding that it is in the spiritual realm that battles are fought and won or lost. If you are spiritually fit, you've got to know it is in the mind that the enemy attacks. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because the enemy plays with your mind and tries to mess with you in this place of thinking. If he can mess your mind up, he can mess your actions up, your activities up, your ambitions up. He can mess you up if he messes with your mind. No matter how strong you are, if your mind is messed up, you messed up. But you can have a strong mind and a weak body and still win a victory.
All right.
Because if you can outthink your enemy, may I tell you, your strength in the mind far outweighs his physical muscles in the flesh. And so he says, be strong. See, a whole lot of mature Christians have grown to the place of being strong because they have exercised their spiritual faith, their spiritual man. They go to the spiritual gym every day.
All right.
You got some folk who go to the physical gym every day or two or three times a week and work on the flesh, but don't do nothing for the spirit. Then the enemy comes and attacks them, and they fall out like babies because they are not strong. Can I tell you, you're going to have situations and circumstances hit your life every now and then.
All right.
And what you ought to be doing, if it's smooth sailing right now, if it's good with you right now, you ought to be working out. You ought to be exercising your spiritual man. You ought to be getting your spiritual man fit. You ought to be getting your spiritual man tuned. You ain't got to be all like the physical man, big and bulky in that sense, but you do have to be fit enough so that when the enemy attacks you, you know how to deal and to respond and not fall out like a baby or one worse than that as a dead man.
All right.
And when the enemy hits you, listen, Job is one of the greatest examples of the constant attack of the enemy. But listen at his fitness. He had daily spiritual exercising going on in his flesh. Underneath the skin, he prayed daily, fellowshiped daily, was in contact and communication with God. So when he was ambushed, caught off guard by the enemy, that thing didn't take him out. As a matter of fact, when he got the news from four different messengers that he had been bankrupt of everything he had, he did not let that thing worry him. He got in a position where he went into worship and said, "The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he worshiped him and made it clear he knew who his source was. He didn't curse God, get mad, start crying, "Why has this happened to me? Why have they taken this from me? Why have they done this to me? Why? No. He said, "God, it's all your stuff. And I belong to you. And however you allow this thing to work out, I know it is well with my soul." And the Bible says, in all of this, he did not charge God foolishly, nor did he curse God. And so you keep on through 42 chapters, and you'll see at the end, when he prayed for his enemies, God turned his situation around and blessed him with twice as much. Amen. Gave him double for his trouble. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to go through trouble, isn't it just worth it to get double for it? You're going to have to go through it. Jesus say, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." So if you're going to go through troubles and trials and tribulation, doesn't it just make sense to get paid double for it? You get that by holding fast the faith and being strong and honoring God. And when you honor God, can I tell you, my brother, my sister, God will show up in your situation. And where the devil tried to bring shame, God will elevate you and lift you up and bring honor to your name. Honor to your name. From your fall, he'll fix your situation and give you more than you ever.